The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
What we're talking about today is a result of a couple different task force teams that had met for the last 2 years and reported at the National Convention this past summer. And one of the things that they reported as far as evangelism is concerned was the big need and just the void that was happening within the home, that the homes were not engaging their children, the parents were not engaging, the grandparents were not engaging their families as far as being intentional with God's word in their home or in their context. And so we did some investigating, just peeling back. Okay, God, what do you say about this? And you know the passage in Acts chapter 2 where Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit and he is preaching out of the book of Joel of all places, and he is leading people to Christ. And they're coming to him in Acts 2:38, and they're saying, "Peter, tell us, how can we be saved?" And of course, Peter goes right to the point and just says, "Repent and be baptized." But something that he says right on the heels of that is really kind of what motivated this whole discussion and this whole breakout, and really the resources that we want to just present to you today. Acts chapter 2, right after Peter says, "Repent and be baptized," he says this to the people. He says, "Because this promise is for you," and the promise he was referring to was the Holy Spirit. This promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's for you. And then look at what he says, because he's really saying it to moms and dads and grandparents, because it needs to start with you. Zig Ziglar said this. I think John Maxwell's done a good job also in talking about this. And that's the whole idea, that if you can't teach anybody anything that you don't already know yourself, you've got to be the one who leads this thing out. And so God is really teaching us very specifically that disciple making first starts right here. It starts with us seeing God's word and then being obedient to it, listening to what he says and then living it out. But then he wants us to teach it to others. Because look at the next thing he says. This promise is for you and for your children. And then think about who's saying these words. Peter, he was a family man. Peter, he was, even though you may not think of he being a scholar, but he knew the Old Testament. I mean, he just got finished preaching out of Joel. And I'm pretty sure he didn't tap an app. And I'm pretty sure he didn't just roll out a scroll. He was preaching it because it was something that had filled his heart. He knew God's word. And one of the things that he knew very emphatically was the Shema. He knew what Deuteronomy chapter 6 said, especially verse 7, where it says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you go down the road, when you lie down, when you get up." So he understood that, yeah, it begins with me, but it also begins in my house. Because God has entrusted me with these children. God has entrusted parents with children. And then notice what he says after this, because it doesn't just stay in the house. It goes outside of the house. It says, "It's to all who are afar off." Now that could mean somebody across the globe, but it also could mean somebody right across the street. Or maybe just down the road. Or maybe within the general area of your community. And so God is, He's really helping us to see our mission. Our mission starts with us, our family, and then those people that we come in contact with. So what we're going to be talking about today is something called the Acts 2:39 Devotion Guide. And you've got a little sample of that devotion guide there in your hand. And Eric's actually going to kind of walk you through what that devotion guide is all about. There's some tools that go along with that. But there's also a leader's guide that we want to help you just be prepared in order to lead families through this material. This devotion guide, it'll be a 25-day devotion guide. And you would be able to give that to your families. We would send that to you absolutely free as a PDF. And we would just give that to you and we'd give you that leader's guide. And we would make sure that you had everything that you needed. And I'll tell you at the end and how we want to try to do this thing. But I want you just to be familiar enough with the material first before you ever make any commitment. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I am asking you for your help. because this is all still in beta test. This is all still, we haven't had any groups go through this yet. And so we need some help to kind of make sure that this material is going to be something that we can actually offer to the entire state. And so I'm going to let Eric come up, and I want you to fill in a lot of these blanks, these papers that you got in your hands. He's going to be talking to you about that. But really just know that our goal is to resource you with this devotion guide so that you can then lead a small group. Maybe it's a Sunday school class. Maybe it's just a group of parents you want to take through. I mean, it's really up to you. I'll let y'all make that decision, and we'll go from there.
I want to take you through this so you can kind of get the heart of where we are. Right, and kind of reemphasize what Mark said. Our heart is for our families. It's for your families. We want you to be successful in equipping your families to reach their families, to reach families in their neighborhood, to reach families elsewhere. Right, and we feel like that starts, we believe wholeheartedly, it starts in the home. And what we're asking for today is not for you to sign up for anything. What we're asking for is to give us a listen and join our heart for reaching your families. Like, that's what we want to be for you. And so we put some time into making this happen. And so we're just going to work through kind of highlights of the Missional Families Leader Guide. So it's got the note on the front of it. It looks like this. And kind of a general overview for what this resource would be that we would send you is it's basically a six-week study. It's a six-week time for a small group gathering. Start with an initial meeting to where you would kind of inform your parents kind of what's going on, what's going to happen. And then you would spend the next 5 weeks taking them through basically a parent devotional, right? I think if the statistics are true, which most of our churches probably would fall in this line right here, most of our families are not doing devotionals together. And if we take it a step further, most of our parents are not doing devotionals by themselves, right? And so we think it's very important, first and foremost, that as a Christian we have our own time, but even more so than that, that the family has their own time. And so the way that we designed this and the way that we prepared this is to be done for families, not for parents by themselves necessarily, but for something that the parents could take their kids through with them. It's very basic. It's very simple. It's not something that's academic. It's not something that's going to be super, super intimidating. Again, we want to help you. We want to equip you to help equip them. And so when we look through this, the Leader's Guide, you've got kind of a general overview. I'm not going to read this stuff to you because you can read. But kind of as you take it through, this is what your leaders would get. This is what you're getting. This is what you'll lead your parents through first. And then it's kind of walk through it. So kind of an expectation of the missional family group leader. What we're kind of looking for from the group leader is committing to practice what this says and walking other people through to do the same thing. And the hope would be, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, is to get them to replicate what you did. And so now you take, you know, four families through or five families through, and then they would take each maybe a family through or maybe two families through or whatever the case would be. And like Mark said, this is something that we want you to adapt to your context. So if you do small groups and that's what's going to work best, great. If you do Sunday school, that's what's going to work best, great. If you do whatever the name is of your groups that you have coming together and that's what's going to work for you, that's awesome too. So if you see some language in here, it's like, well, we don't do that. Adapt it. Like, we want you to take it into your context and to own it, right? And so when you look through the expectation of the missional family group leader, the big thing for us to kind of emphasize is it's equally important. It's important that you follow up with your families and walk with your families in this. If we're going to take them from zero to hero, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some things that they're not used to, right? There's going to be some things that they may be intimidated with. And that's something that you're going to have to walk alongside them with and to help them in this, right? I can't speak for everyone in the room, but I know for in my context and in my experience, I work with a lot of defeated parents, right? And if I can be transparent with you, which I know we don't do that in the Baptist church, I'm one of them, right? It's never good to be the father and feel like you failed your daughter, right? And you feel like you're defeated. And I'm a pastor. I'm teaching you. But yet I still have those moments of, man, I can't do this. This is, man, she's just, I can't get her to see this, or I've failed right here, right? My wife's the same way. And so just imagine that if leadership, if we feel that way, how does a parent feel that it's not in leadership? Maybe they weren't raised in the church. Maybe their family wasn't a part of the church. Maybe they've never seen what any of this is done. And they're trying to get this done, but they live in this world of we have to be perfect 24/7, right? And so it's important that as we walk through this with our families, that we walk through with them understanding that, hey, listen, we are all in the same boat here. trying to make disciples of the nations, and we want it to start at the home, and then we want it to kind of go from there. But walking with them in this, not just while you're in this study with them, but even after it. Right? Because that's when it's really going to kind of get to it. I don't know if anybody's ever been through a formal discipleship group with somebody. Right? The easy part is when you're meeting every week. Because you got the accountability, you got the leader, you got the encouragement, you got the group. The hard part is what? When that's over. Because you're not meeting every week anymore. Right? And I know for me in my own life, one of the biggest transformations for me is whenever that leader followed up after we were finished. Not with meetings, but just say, man, just want to check in on you, see how your life's going. Right? And so it's important that the missional family group leader, the expectation is to replicate yourself, but to also actually walk with these families through it. Right? I think one of the things we do very well in church is recruit people to do things. I think what we do poorly is walk with them while they do what we've asked them to do. Right? And the problem with that is that that's not discipleship. Discipleship is not just selling somebody on something and then kicking them out in the world. Discipleship is selling them on something and then walking with them as they become who you want them to be. Right? And encouraging them in that. And so that's kind of the expectations there. And then what we're calling the gatherings for us, again, you can change the name, but a missional family or missional family group gatherings. And it's going to be based on the section that we're going to get into here in a second on Acts 2:39, the parent group study matrix, right? And we've provided this for you in this handout. It's towards the end. We're going to kind of get there. But that's what all this is going to be focused on. So we've tried to write this in such a way that you're not going to have to do a ton of legwork to make this happen. Right? I kind of believe in this idea that if I'm going to ask people to do something, I want to try to take all the work out of it for them. Right? Because I like want to make you want to be a part of this. I don't want to be like, wow, man, I'm going to have to spend all this time and you expect me to research. No. We've tried to do all of that for you. Right? And so a couple of things that we encourage you in this time if you're doing it, right? Kind of the four E's, as you can see right here. First one is engage your families. Engage your families. In preparation for this time, the other day at church, intentionally, I had the opportunity to preach Sunday for the pastors out of town, and I intentionally took my walk from my office to the CLC, to our Christian Life Center where we do our services, and I intentionally tried to list every single fact I could about people I knew that were walking down the hall. And here's what I found. Most of the people I know, I don't know. Right? I don't know. Because either I don't know like who their grandkids are, or maybe I don't know like, well, who's their wife? Are they married? And these are people that like I see every week as I'm walking down the hall. And we don't have like an extremely large church. And so if you think about that, when your families come to show up at your meetings, how much of your families do you actually know? Is their marriage struggling? Or do they have a good marriage? Do they have kids that are having issues? Are they struggling with some sin in the house? Is the husband a spiritual leader? Is the wife chasing Christ? Because these are all things that are going to impact how you have to lead this family through this. And so we spend our time kind of as we move into this stuff, is we want to engage with our families, connect with them. The other thing is that we want to make sure we're doing our families is encourage them, hold them accountable. Right, that's another thing that I think that we do well at is communicating what we want to see done, but I think what we do poorly in is actually following through with inspecting what we say we expect. Right? And that's how change happens. And so we encourage our families, talk with them about their devotional times. Did you do it? Right? We want to ask these questions no one wants to answer. Being held accountable, right? How did it go? Well, I wanted to choke my kids out. That's great. That's great. It'd probably be like that, right? I was doing some time with my daughters the other night, and I got a five-year-old, and I said, do you want to be in here right now? Yes, then stop, because you're distracting me. She said, I'm just bored. Right? But what does that tell you as a parent? Man, you're going to step up your game, because your five-year-old wants to listen, but you're not making it easy for her. Right? And so you got to work through that stuff. You got to work through that stuff. And then equip them. Help them. Remember, your parents probably are not, this is not going to be normal for them. For some of us in this room, it may not be normal for us. Right? going through a devotional, asking questions, actually trying to equip somebody to follow the Word of God. Right? Remember the Great Commission, to make disciples of the nations, baptizing them to follow the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to know the commands. No. What does he say? Teaching to obey the commands. That is an entirely different way to teach people. I can disseminate knowledge to you all day long, but that's not what Jesus commanded me to do. What he commanded me to do is to teach you how to actually obey what I know. And I don't know if anyone's ever tried to actually follow through with that, but that is a very difficult way to teach. Because you can't just, you know, you can't just speak and then walk away from it. You've got to talk and ask questions. You've got to follow up. And you've got to walk them through this. And then after this, empower your parents. Remember, they're defeated. We got to be a cheerleader for them. We got to make sure, we got to sell our parents on believing that they can. You can do this. You're called to do this. And I'm right here to walk with you. And so as leaders that are here today, if this is something that you're wanting to do in your church when you go back, is really kind of highlighting these four things. I got to engage my families. I got to encourage them. I've got to equip them. I've got to empower them in this process. Right? The idea is not for us necessarily to take this group through and then take another group through and then take another group through. That's not discipleship. The idea is that I take a group through and then people in that group take their own groups through as I start a new group. And then they take their own groups through as I start another group. And the beauty of this is that as you continue to do this, it's going to begin to affect the culture in your church. And people are going to start caring about the families. Your community is going to start seeing that the church cares. Why? Because it's not the pastor at their house talking to them about the gospel. Because it's not the pastor at their house talking to them about the things of God. It's the neighbor that, you know, works at Tyco or that is a middle school teacher. And all of a sudden they're here talking about how they care about your family, how they care about their family and what they do. And so when you get down here to this Acts 2:39 devotional guides, you can see we've provided an effort to help equip the parents develop an Acts 2:39 mindset. And down there below, you see three bullet points. What we've given you today is samples of the parent devotional guide. And then next to the other two, you see brackets that say coming soon. The reason why we have those is because those were an afterthought and not an afterthought by us necessarily. Whenever we kind of shared this with some of the people that we were trying to get some input from, hey, what are you thinking through? These came up. What about people that have kids that just don't live at home? Are they not considered family? Yeah, they are. Then we probably need to give them something. You're right. We do. Right? And then what about it when you're finished? Are we just going to kind of throw them out in the world and just let them go? No. No, we need to follow up. And so these are things that we're going to be working through and working on. And with that being said, I know Mark said it, we want this to be successful for you. We want you to make it better. We want you to own it and make it successful. And if you find that man, we kind of feel like we tweaked this, and you know what? This is what we're seeing success in. We want you to tell us because we want to change it. Right? As Mark says, I'm married to my spouse, not this. So this can change all day long, right? And so, because the biggest thing for us is that we want your families to be reached with the gospel. We want your families to succeed. We want your parents to succeed. We want your moms and dads to feel like, I can do this. I can make this happen. Because I don't think anybody in this room is exempt from brokenness. We all represent families in this room. Some of us have amazing experiences in our families when it comes to a Christian home. Some of us have horrid experiences when it comes to Christianity in our home. Some of us, me included, have no experience of Christianity in your home as a child. We all come from different backgrounds, but we're all still called to the same purpose. Right? And thank God for the resurrection, because I have the power not to be my parents. Right? And I'll be clear, my parents were phenomenal parents. They're still phenomenal parents, both in Christ now. I'm very thankful for that. But we weren't raised in a Christian home. Right? And so we can tell our parents that you don't have to be who your mom or dad was. It doesn't matter if you haven't done this for 10 years. It doesn't matter if your kid's 18. You're still the primary influencer. Right? It's like Craig Gashel says, the best decision you can make is the next one. They become encouragers. And so as we kind of come through here, I want to talk about the layout of the devotional guides, the layout of the devotional guides. So like we said, it's a six-week deal. It's kind of what we're looking at. 5 weeks of it is for content. And each week has a specific theme that we want you to focus on, that we've kind of felt like that we're going to work our parents through. The first week is love God. It's kind of foundational, right? My love for God is what's going to spring everything else out from there. And so the entire week is on loving God. That's kind of the focus. The verses that we've picked out for the devotional time throughout the week is on loving God. And then week two is loving His Word. Right? We're transitioning. We're transitioning to making this happen. In week three, being transformed by His Word. Right? Kind of like I like how Robbie Gallaty says it. Get in the Word until the Word gets into you. Right? And that's so true. Right? Actually, a study came out the other day and it said the most transformational spiritual discipline is Bible engagement. And if they find someone who is engaging the Scripture on a consistent basis, the other spiritual disciplines start to flow naturally. And that makes sense, right? The living Word is starting to get in you. It's starting to transform you. And so you're starting to care about people that you didn't care about before. You're starting to care about talking to God and serving God and memorizing His Word and meditating on it. And so week four, again, flowing out of this natural kind of progression is become missional. We have a job. It's not the pastor's responsibility to reach our neighbors. It's not the pastor's responsibility. I'm a youth pastor. It's not my job to reach your kids. I come alongside you to help, just like it's not your job to reach my kids. That's my job, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a dad. Right? That's my mission, to lead my kids to Christ. As a pastor, my vocational calling is to help you lead your kids to Christ. Not lead them to Christ for you, but to help you do that, to equip you to do that. And the last one, which is a really big one that we put, is be tactful. Really, really being intentional with how am I going to do this, right? Things such as like, I'm not going to check my mail at 3 o'clock because I know ain't nobody home at 3 o'clock. But you know what? I know all the cars start coming through. People start walking at about 5:30. So every day at 5:30, I'm going to check the mail. Why? So that I can be intentional in interacting and engaging with my neighbors. Because, you know, you got that little awkwardness when you walk out to the mailbox, you see people walking by. You know, and you're sitting there and it's like you can see them staring at you. You're walking by and you're like, hello. Right? It's because you feel weird. At least I do. Because we don't live in this culture anymore that says stay on your front porch till people walk by and then invite them in for cake. Instead, we live in this culture that says you stay on your front porch until you see somebody come around the bend. Then you run in, shut the blinds, close the door, turn everything off, and stay silent till they walk by. Right? I mean, is that fair? Hanging out in the living room? Somebody knocks on the door because somebody in your church or a friend decides just to have a surprise visit? Shut up. Be quiet. They'll leave if they think we're not here. Right? But here's the deal. That shouldn't be the culture the church is a part of. The church should be welcoming people in. Should be wanting to engage the lost. Wanting to engage their neighbors. Even if they are annoying. My dad told me one time when I was younger and I got in a fight with a kid. He said, why'd you get in a fight with him? I said, because I'm annoying. Or because he's annoying. And he said, son, you're annoying. You ever thought about that? I'm not a yes, you are. Just remember that, son. Every time you think something about somebody else, there's a good chance somebody thinks that about you. Fair game. Right? And so this is kind of the focus of it right here. And when we look at the devotional guide, we've thrown in a family conversation starter. Right? And so some of you, and again, we can email these two after, but some of you got these right here. This is kind of a sample of what a day looks like. Of what a day looks like. So you can see on there, kind of week one, day three, Ephesians 5, 17 or 18, or maybe you got week two, day four. We've given you just a brief commentary. They're all one page. Very simple, a brief commentary, not necessarily to be read verbatim, but just to kind of help the parent understand. We put a quote at the beginning to kind of give some context of how somebody else kind of emphasizes the point we're getting across. And then at the as you go down, you see a family conversation starter. So in Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, the question to ask the kids and the family, which one of the four items listed above are you the strongest? Which one do you need to spend more time developing? And it's talking about studying the Bible, praying, obeying, or journaling. Right? And so now comes the questions. Now comes the conversation. And then with the Also, with that, we've provided a connecting to your neighbor activity. We want to help you be intentional and be tactful. Now, there is one with every devotional, but you're not going to be able to do 25 connecting neighbor activities in 25 days. Because, if we have this culture of when you walk into somebody's yard, they run or call the police, you're going to have to start developing a relationship. My neighbor, who doesn't live there anymore, but he rents his house. He now lives in Matthews. Lived there for about 2 years. And it wasn't until about the 1 year and 9 month mark that I was invited into his house when he was having a party. Right? And friends, unbelievers. He and his wife were unbelievers. But it took 1 year and 9 months of me standing in my driveway and having a basic conversation to helping with, you know, painting the mailbox whenever he couldn't get back to the house and his wife was there, helping Andrea, bringing dinner to him because their son Cash was born on Christmas Day and they had no family, right? And we're over here and I'm thinking of like a movie, like Christmas Vacation or something like that, or, you know, where all the nice families in the house and they got turkey and all this nice stuff and like the people on the outside just looking over like, man, I wish I could have that. And I didn't even think of that. My wife did. She said, you need to bring Sterling and Andrew some food. So we did, right? And so we've made this bond, but it took a 1 year and 9 months to get into his home. And that is with intentionality, because that's where we are in this world right now. And now they've been gone for about 3 years. We get text messages. Hey, we're going to be in town. We're going to do something for the house. To even now, the craziest thing, because I'm not a landscaper, I've been asked to mow the yard because he says the tenants don't take care of it. Did you really trust me? Right, but this is connecting to your neighbor activities or things like that. Like, hey, do this or do that. For this one right here, it says, make a point this week to spend time in the front yard, on the front porch or balcony, and greet those who pass by with a smile and wave. Dude, I was with you. You asked that. I'm done. Game breaker. Right now, connect with them. And here's the thing. Everyone in your neighborhood wants to be connected with. There's apps all over the place of people who just throw their names out there because they want to know who lives around them, because they want to have connection, they want to have unity, or they want to have community. Right? And this is what the church has the market on, or at least we're supposed to. We can offer the world what the world can't offer itself, and it's something that we can do a really good job on when we try, and it's called relationships. The world's got us at every corner. But where they don't have us is relationships. And it's what all of the world wants. Right? And so connecting to a neighbor activity, and there's more that you can do. You can come up with them, but the whole idea is just to connect, just to start that conversation with your neighbor. And then we have a weekly memory verse challenge. That's another big one that probably a lot of people aren't doing. But memorizing the scripture, why is that such a big deal? I don't know if you guys ever engage or when you engage with evangelistic conversations or even when you're teaching. How many times does memorizing scripture come into play in the moment? For me, it's huge. So I do a lot of apologetics work. Sometimes I do apologetics work with Christians, right? Defending the Christian faith against people that profess the Christian faith. And a lot of that memorization comes into play, being able to say, yeah, but how do you handle this? The other thing is that we memorize what's important to us, right? For all intents and purposes. How many of you did memorize your name? How many of you haven't memorized your social security number? I'm not even going to ask you about your cell phone because nobody memorizes their cell phone number anymore, right? You always get in trouble when you go to the store and you don't have your phone. They're like, what's your number? Can I give you my social? Right? And so, it's a weekly memory challenge. And so this is kind of what it would look like. There's going to be 5 weeks of this, and there's just 5 days a week. We understand that this is new, and we don't want to go as low as like we're just going to give them 1 day. We're going to give you 5 days, give you 2 days to catch up, right? And guess what? They probably still won't make that. So you have to encourage them. This is where the encouraging and the equipping part comes. And the last thing that we've put on here also is engagement tools. And so the idea of the engagement tool is to cross that barrier. So I can connect with my neighbor, and that's great. I can smile and I wave, but it's going to be a little weird if you're just standing on your porch like Forrest Gump waving at everybody. You're going to have to talk at some point in time. You're going to have to engage them at some point in time. And so we gave you these engagement tools, and there's a lot more of these. But we gave some, and some of them we're going to show you right here. So the engagement tools, right here, I don't know if you've heard of this, but www.blesseveryhome.com. This is a software that you can go to online that's free, and you can enter in your house address. And guess what it does? It brings up the entire map of where you live, and it puts names to every house that is around you. So you can start praying for people before you've ever met them. So let me ask you this. Is it God's desire for all to be saved? It seems like the Scripture says that. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws people to the Father. John 6:44. God, I'm praying for Joel and Tamara Casey to come to faith in Christ, and I'm praying for the opportunity for me to share. I'm pleading with you to make that happen. And how many times when we've actually made a prayer like that, or we've actually pleaded for something like that, in the next day, hour, 2 days, 3 days, hey, Eric, can I borrow your lawnmower? Sure you can, Joel. Right? Or, hey, man, me and Tamara are having some issues. I wonder if we could talk to you. I know you go to church, right? Yes, I do. Why don't you come on inside, man? Let's get some coffee. Right? But it could get a little weird sometimes. I know that Mark, when he's using this, he had a house. And Bill Wallace, is that the, I think that's the, Bill Wallace is what the name was on the house. And he come to find out that that was the guy that owns the house. Somebody else rented it. So it was a little bit of an awkward conversation. Like, what's up, Bill? That's not my name. That's all right. I've been praying for Bill. What's your name? I'll pray for you too. Right? Right? You have these awkward moments, but you can engage with them. The question we got asked yesterday, so what happens when our kid goes outside? Maybe you got the weirdness of, man, we've been praying for you for months. Right? Or they call the person's name. Like, how do you know my name? What an amazing opportunity for a parent. Man, because we get together on a consistent basis as a family and we pray for you. I don't care who you are. If that's what comes out your mouth, rarely are you going to have somebody like become belligerent. Most of the time when I've engaged a waiter or a waitress or a neighbor that we've been praying for or something like that, when we have done this, I haven't always done this, usually the response is one of tears. And what does that tell you? They want community. They're starving for it. And we've got members of the body of Christ all over who are the solution, at least can deliver the solution for community. Let me tell you how community happens. Right? Have you ever heard of this guy named Jesus? Right? So these are some of the other engagement tools that we have. Praying for my neighbors. Some of you got this. Again, you can email Mark and we'll send all this stuff out. But right here, it's praying for my neighbors. You go through the engagement tool. You pray for the Spirit of God to draw them to Himself, for them to believe the Scriptures, that Satan would be prevented from blinding them to the truth, for the Holy Spirit to convict them. And these are things that you're praying through with your children. And the beauty of this, especially if the children are younger, is that what you do with them on a regular basis, they think is what everyone's supposed to do. I know whenever I was in seminary, whenever my oldest, she should be 9 next week, she was, I think, 3 or 4 at this time, and I was in the middle of taking Greek, and it was wearing me out. And so I was gone a lot because I was having to study for it and I was having to do things for it. And she associated in her head that any time I was missing, I was studying Greek. Right? And two things happened to kind of illustrate my point. The first one was when people would ask, hey, where's your daddy at? He's studying Greek. And I could be in the next room. But in her world, if he's not here, it's because he's studying Greek. The second thing illustrated there is that whenever another child's dad was missing, she answered the same way. Well, he's studying Greek. He was like, no, he's not. She was like, well, she got confused. Why? Because in her world, that's what every dad does. But think about that. Bring that into the world now of a devotional. Memorizing Scripture. Sharing your faith. Guess what that child is going to assume is what everyone does. It's not about being a Christian at that moment for them. It's about the fact, I want to be like my mom and dad. And this is what my mom and dad do. They pray for their neighbors. They go out on walks and say hey to people. They look at people in the eye when they talk to them. They shake hands. It's just what they do. Larry is one of the pastors on staff, and his son shows up on Sundays. and wants to be all dressed to a T like his daddy is. He's about that tall, but he walks around with his chest about the size of his dad's when he's in that suit, when he's in his attire, right? And yesterday, he couldn't, our Sunday, he couldn't get dressed up exactly the way he was, and he was a little ball of fire. Because for him, that's just what you do, right? And it's important that we remember that. At week three, and these are things that you'll get as we do this, it'd be initiating spiritual conversations. Again, we're moving them along. How do I actually engage in the spiritual side, right? How do I actually engage in the spiritual side? Week four, sharing my story. I'm engaging in the spiritual conversation now. Now let me tell you what Jesus has done for me, right? Kind of the blind man and John story. Hey, this is who I was. This is what Jesus did for me, and this is who I am now. Right? Being able to share your story and training your parents to be able to share their story with their neighbors and gaining confidence in them. And then week five is three circles, if you're familiar with that. You'll be training your parents on the three circles and how do we actually work through the three circles with our neighbor. You'd be amazed at how many people will engage in the three circles. We were on a UNCG's campus, a university here in town. The other day, there was a guy sitting on the bench. Me and Larry actually were the ones out there doing it. And we started talking and we were kind of working through some things. And the method that we were kind of investigating to use wasn't working. And he was a professing Christian, but he didn't really seem like he knew the gospel. And I said, have you ever had the gospel presented to you? He was like, I'm sure I have. What? And then I said, you mind if I show you three circles? He went, absolutely, sure, yeah. So I had my little whiteboard, which made it a little weird because an old man on a college campus walking around with a whiteboard. But he listened to the whole thing. Right? And it's very engaging. And so if you go through to the end of the leader's guide right here, what we've given you is kind of an initial meeting, what that looks like. And this is for you to tailor for what you've got, preparing your group for the upcoming week. And then kind of it goes through kind of where you're at, group conversation questions, the engagement tool that you'll be promoting to them, Bless Every Home, and then the weekly memory verse challenge. And what we'll provide for you whenever we give this to you, if you're going to beta test it, what it'll look like is you'll have something like this for every single week. Right? Again, we want to make this as simple and as easy for you to be successful as possible. Right?
Appreciate that, Eric. I know it's a little warm. Sorry that we couldn't get the chairs in time, but thank you so much for your patience with this. What we'd like to do is this is not a sales job, but we are asking for your help. As Eric just kind of laid out what all this is about, it has not been tested. And so we do need some churches to kind of beta test this for us in your own context. And we're looking for every context of church in the city, suburb, out in the country, whatever. We're looking for every single context so that we can really give the best product to North Carolina Baptists. And so here's what I'd just like to offer. Would you consider being a beta test type church for us? And what I'd like to do is just give you this card, and I need you just to give me your email address and some basic information, and just hand that back to me saying, yes, we would like to be a beta test. And all the stuff that you just see, all of that's free. We're not charging anything for this stuff. We will most likely, this devotion guide will come out in a paper form. We'll sell you that at cost. I mean, it's probably going to be about $3, maybe $4 for that little booklet. So it's not going to be a tremendous amount of expense, no matter how you look at it. But if you would consider being the beta test church, just give me some information, and I'll be contacting you between now and probably Christmas. So, because this is what we're looking to get started in January 2019, doing the beta test during the month of January. That's why we didn't really want to hand you this devotion guide today, because guess what you would do with it? Wait till January. So we understand. We know right now is the busiest time of the year. But would you consider in this beta test, be the leader of a small group? And that could be a Sunday school class. It could be just a group that meets on a Wednesday night. I mean, it just whatever context best fits you. But right now, target parents with children at home, because that's what the guide is really tailored to. Provide us weekly feedback, and I'd like just to kind of receive emails back from you. Hey, this worked, this didn't work, this you need to trash this, what crazy person said this. I mean, we want your honest opinion. Eric said, we're married to our wives, not these pieces of paper. We're okay with that. Because we want to, again, make sure that we have the best thing. And so what we're really, our goal is to do is be able to get all this information back by the end of January, or it probably theoretically be the very first week of February, and to really be able to compile that, get all this stuff together so that at the disciple-making conference at the end of February, which will be in High Point, North Carolina, at Green Street Baptist Church, at the end of February, we'd like to kind of roll this thing out. But the next time we roll it out, it'll be more complete. Well, it will be complete because of your help. And we'll be able to share that with North Carolina Baptists, and then from there be able to kind of launch into getting this into as many churches who would be willing to use this. So I'm going to just pass these cards out. I'm going to just let y'all sort of have these. And also, too, I know that we ran out of paper as far as these samples. Fill out that card, okay? And because I'm assuming if you're going to fill out the card, you want to be a beta tester. But I'm also assuming that if you're filling out the card and you want this, you might want this information before you kind of make the final decision. Because you fill out this card and give it back to me today does not obligate you to anything. But I will be getting in contact with you. But just put a little star. If you didn't get all the handouts, just put a little star in the right top-hand corner of that little card. That way I know to go ahead and email you all this stuff that you maybe didn't get. Or maybe you got portions of it, not all of it. So we just want to help you out with that. In the last few minutes that we've got, I just want to open this up for some questions. What is it that maybe we weren't quite clear on? Maybe there's some questions that you're kind of just wondering about. We'd like just to open up that time and just give us something that you're maybe not unclear on, and we'd like to help you out with. Jimmy, yes, sir.
Mark, as you think about this, especially for January, how many families would be a good number?
Yeah.
Think about this initial group. I know if you have lots of families, you want to target just a few so that you can talk about so you can replicate this.
Yeah. Really, we want to make things as easy on you as possible. So I would say, you know, a small group of probably around maybe anywhere from, you know, four to maybe six families. It could be seven, sure, it could be eight, but I mean, if you're doing 20, that might be a bit much. Just think about it just in your context, not to overtax you, but to really maybe be strategic in who you're asking, because you want to maybe catalyze something for maybe the months to come after the disciple making conference when we actually have everything more formalized. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate that question. Yes, ma'am.
Children, and then ideas for homes with older children, because a 15-year-old and a 3-year-old, there's just going to be, you know, discrepancy there. So I didn't know if you had that built into the devotion.
We did not have that built into the devotion, and the reason being is because children are so unique that you can have a 3-year-old that acts like they're 15, and a 15-year-old that acts like they're 3. I mean, I know my 5-year-old acts like the older sister sometimes, and so what we've left that up to is more of the context for the parents to kind of understand kind of what that would look like. Some of the connecting activities a 3-year-old's not going to be able to do. Some of them they are. And so it's kind of the idea of knowing the kids best and what will work with the kids for that. And that's also what we've kind of left up for the context of the leaders, because you guys know the context of a lot of your parents and being able to help you do that. What we wanted to give is kind of a principle or kind of an example of what this could look like for the conversation starter or for the connecting activity, but really allow you to have ownership of it to kind of take it from there and say, hey, this would be a good thing to do that. So maybe something where your children's minister or your youth minister, they kind of go through and they tailor it for you. That, hey, listen, okay, we're gonna kind of tag to this these three things. And if you find that works, tell us, because we'll tag it also.
Thank you for that question.
It's a great question. Yes?
So For the rollout for January, for the empty nesters, grandparents, that whole set, is that going to be?
That won't be for January yet.
That won't be for January.
Yeah, that's coming soon. That's probably going to be after the disciple-making conference where we're ready to roll that out. Yeah.
Now, and when you do roll that out, are they going to be to where, so like with the small groups that we have, we may have a family with younger children and we also have empty nesters and grandparents in that same group, would those be two totally, like, are we on two different pages there, or is it just application difference?
Yeah, it really right now that's two different groups you want to have. What we'd like for you to target with this devotional guide are just families with children at home, because that's how this devotional guide's tailored. We are going to come out with one that are for just empty nesters. And so that way it'll have some similarities to the family devotion guide, but the first one you'll get, but the second one will have a lot more different nuance because it is just a couple there. Great question.
Is it going to be just for couples or could it be for single parents?
Oh, singles as well.
Singles as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
We live in a very rural area where most of our people are not in neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Are there thoughts there, or is that something as a baby group we would kind of let you know what?
Well, and there again, that's where we leave it up to the church leader to kind of tailor that in within the context of your small group as you're leading it. Because we gave you ideas, but we knew that not all those ideas were going to be applicable because you may have a lot of families living in a trailer park versus way out in the country. And the closest neighbor's, you know, 2 football fields away. And so really it's just dependent on your context, how to really take those things to their community in a way that fits in their community.
So we're at the who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
So is this built into that and helping families understand maybe who is my neighbor?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And especially with that Bless Every Home, using that as a bit of a daily reminder, because you sign up for that and you get a reminder each day of the week except for the weekend. You get 5 reminders a week. Comes right to your email box. You click on that and it really just looks at your community and just lets you pray individually for some folks who live near you.
And I think to that point, some of the training that you'll put into the parents is becoming tactful and engaging your neighbor. I mean, instead of just seeing them and waving, becoming more tactful and intentional on actually asking, who are you? Where do you come from? What do you do? Which gets a little awkward sometimes, but I mean, that's kind of where the church should be. We should be the ones crossing the street. They shouldn't have to cross the street to come to us. For the most part, you have to break down some walls and some barriers. People I'm mowing yards for right now, he's in a PhD program, and he's a non-believer. But he's super nice, and we're kind of going through that awkward phase because we've just kind of met. And so it's like, hey, how many kids do you have? Do you like football? Okay. This is the midst of cars driving by and stuff like that. So it's a slow process, but, Jim and Linda, and they got 1 kid at home and several kids not.
Yes, sir.
I came in a little late, so I didn't, I think you touched on it, but as far as like when this ends, you were saying like ideas for other people to start leading other groups. I've been wanting to do this type of thing with our church for a while, and I've looked at a couple of different things. Connect groups has been a big thing that people are going to fellowship-wise, but I'm always concerned about them becoming very cliquish, and I keep talking to other people who are doing these things, and they say, well, the problem is the groups know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to continue to make another sale and make another sale, as they continue to reach out. And the problem is they always want to stick together. So, is that the thought process? Once you're done in 6 weeks, you split and give you
the... I think the idea for the leader's perspective is, so we've got a coming soon, be a parent follow-up devotional also, to kind of work through that. But the idea is that to walk with them in this even after it. So it's kind of 6 weeks, and then it's not necessarily the idea that all of a sudden you don't talk anymore. But it's kind of like now there's a group of people you have community with, you're not necessarily meeting with now, but it's still your community, and the leader still kind of helps walk with this after the fact as they're starting to develop, with this encouragement. Hey, listen, we got new cells starting, or new C groups or D groups or whatever the case is, and then start seeing that trickle-down effect. But the idea is for these people not necessarily to continue meeting every single week as just one group, and 10 years from now they're still doing the same thing, trying to reach their neighbor directly across the street.
Because most likely, week 5, they're not going to be leading their neighbor to Christ necessarily, but they need to be trained on this so that when that opportunity does come, maybe in week 6. Or before, we hope, honestly, but obviously this takes time, and this is to be for the long haul. But this is just the jumping off into that long haul. That's what this is about.
Hey, I wanted to mention something else too. As far as the neighbor thing, we live in a very rural area. In fact, the community where our church is called Shoeheel. The community is called Shoeheel.
Shoeheel.
Does that give you any kind of indication how small the community is? And yeah, I was talking with a good friend of mine on the way up here. Just within a 5-mile radius, you'll find people from India. Yep. There's Muslims, there are, you know, several different nationalities of Latinos. You know, there's probably, you know, 7 or 8 different countries just represented within 5 miles for our church. And one of the things that I had heard recently, even about Muslims, because I know it's real intimidating to people, that a lot of the Muslims that are here are actually, you know, more liberal Muslims. And they're more open to those conversations than they would be at home. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times when you try to approach, you say, well, they're Muslim, I can't really approach them. But, you know, in their home countries, it would be difficult because they'd be ostracized, excommunicated.
Sure.
Maybe
that's right. They would be. They could be.
Not really.
Not so much. That's right.
We're very open. In fact, we're involved with some Christian ministries in our school system, the First Priority. And we actually have some Muslim kids that come to the First Priority. And they come just because they feel loved.
That's right.
And, they feel
and that's the church reaching out.
Yeah. Community.
That's it.
Amen.
So I think approaching those neighbors are a lot more likely sometimes. I think we prevent ourselves from approaching our neighbors more than they prevent.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, any other questions?
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to close us in prayer before we step out here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us this morning to be with these leaders and those that are part of sister churches. And Lord, we just pray for their families. And Lord, we just pray for wisdom in leading their families. And Father, we thank you for the privilege you've given us to be here today and to gather. And Lord, we just pray for encouragement of our own as we go back to our churches. And Lord, we just pray that you would be magnified and that our neighbors would be reached with the gospel and that our parents would be reached with the gospel, Lord, and that we'd become intentional about reaching those that are lost both in our own homes and also in those that are in our neighborhoods and in our communities, Father. But most importantly, may we seek to make much of Christ each and every day in His gospel, both in word and in deed. Lord, we thank you for the cross, and Lord, we thank you for the fact of the resurrection. Lord, it's in the most holy and precious name of Christ we ask and pray. Amen.